news and analysis on demand. This is PID Radio.
Catapult the propaganda.
Alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert, flying solo again this evening, but got some interesting news to pass along and a segment that I think you'll appreciate. We're actually bringing some more new content back to PID Radio tonight, although it will be me solo once again. Not doing this because I prefer to, but just because things have been changing for us here in the bunker, and we'll talk about that in just a minute and tell you what's going on and where you'll find us in the near future. A number of people have asked about the changes in our lives and why we seem to have disappeared from the web. We haven't actually disappeared from the web, but I think we probably didn't do a good enough job in explaining where we were going and when we were going. We did pull back our online presence because we were expecting to relocate from Missouri to Indiana probably this weekend or next. And so as part of our budget cutting, we cut back the websites that we were paying for in order to free up a little extra money. Well, because we frankly expected we were going to be under some real budget constraints once we got to Indiana. Thankfully, the job prospects in Indiana were healthier than expected. Well, I'll make the long story short. Basically, we're staying put. We're staying put here in Columbia for the foreseeable future. My employer graciously extended a job offer to Sharon. We sold them on the idea of the need for somebody who could maintain websites on a daily basis. Now, if you're a regular reader of Watcher magazine or Connecting the Dots over the past couple of years, you know that Sharon can do that and do it extremely well. And management, where I am employed, happens to have 9 radio stations with websites plus several non-radio station websites, and no one at this point designated internally to take care of those websites. So as of August 1st, Sharon will be taking care of that responsibility, and what that does for us is allows us the financial freedom to go back to Indiana and visit her family, which was the whole point of the projected move in the first place. So we're going to be here for the time being. We do have some work cut out for us over the next couple of weeks because we still need to move. But thankfully, we have a key already to the new place, and we've started moving some of our stuff over. So you may not get a weekly update from us for a while. But once we get into the new place, get things settled, get the new bunker set up and established, the new 3-bedroom bunker with a garage, woohoo, we will be back in business and ready to go. Now, the time constraints put upon Sharon by the new job may mean that we find it necessary to continue this sort of irregular schedule we've had with PID Radio for the past couple of months. We'll see how that goes. We're not making any promises at this point. But the again, the good news is that we have a clear path now, at least for the near future, and we'll be able to stay here, which has made Nicole awfully happy. I mean, being 90 minutes away was tough enough. The prospect of being 6 hours away, which is the way things were looking up until Wednesday of this week, which is when we found out about the job offer, it was not something Nicole was happy about. So, and especially because her marching band, her high school marching band, is coming to Columbia later this year, so we would have missed out on that. So that aside, we'll move on to some new content with PID Radio. The guest this week is a guest that I had on my radio show Friday afternoon on the Eagle 93.9 in Columbia. He's also a guest that you PID Radio listeners are familiar with as well, William H. Kennedy. It seemed like a timely interview considering that Monday of this past week, if you missed the news, Monday, July the 16th, Cardinal Mahoney of the Los Angeles Archdiocese announced a $660 million settlement, $660 million settlement to 508 victims of pedophile priests, cases dating back to the 1940s. As a result of this case, the trials that were working their way through the legal system in Los Angeles have been dropped. This puts a stop to it. At least temporarily, some of the people who are receiving settlements have indicated they want to continue pursuing legal action. Yeah, so we'll see how this all plays out. But the Archdiocese of Los Angeles paying out $660 million. This brings to over $2 billion with a B, $2 billion over the last 2 years, the amount of money paid out in settlements by the Roman Catholic Church in the United States to victims of sexual abuse by priests. So it felt like the right time to talk with William, since he obviously has focused on this quite a bit. The topic of his first book, Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church, was triggered by the sexual abuse scandals that came out of Boston under Bernard Cardinal Law several years back. So you hear that in just a couple of minutes. A couple of other quick notes in the news here in Columbia. We are no longer in the running to host the new bioweapons laboratory proposed by the Department of Homeland Security. The locals here, most of them, are rejoicing. However, the big money men who had hoped to profit from the $500 million construction project must now set their sights westward on Manhattan, Kansas, which is one of the five remaining sites. This is the facility that will replace the aging weapons laboratory at Plum Island, the only laboratory that currently researches foot and mouth disease in the United States. Important to do the research, but foot and mouth is highly, highly transmissible, not something you want located in an area where you've got lots of deer, hogs, and cattle, all of which can transmit and carry foot and mouth disease. It would be a multi-billion dollar disaster if foot and mouth should happen to escape this laboratory. And so now it's up to people in Kansas, Mississippi, Texas, Georgia, and North Carolina, the five remaining sites for this National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, to worry about what happens if and when. A NASA researcher named Professor Klaus Heinemann noticed on some photos that his wife took of a collection of spiritual healers that many of them were surrounded by orbs, something that has been reported by ghost hunters, paranormal researchers, for quite some time. Professor Heinemann has done some additional research and now believes that he can summon these orbs to appear on camera on command. It's a similar claim to the one made by Prophet Yahweh, who claimed that he could make UFOs appear on command. Same problem. These guys don't know what they're dealing with. They're dealing with matters spiritual, and sadly they're doing it without proper grounding and may discover that they've bitten off more than they can chew. From Spain, a scientist has announced that he's figured out what's causing colony collapse disorder. He's blaming the disappearance of bees in the United States and Western Europe on a microscopic Asian parasite. Now, since we're not finding thousands upon thousands of dead bees at these collapsed colonies, just bees that have disappeared, we think the jury is still out on this particular answer. But according to this Spanish scientist, colony collapse disorder can be blamed on a microscopic Asian parasite that has now moved to Western Europe and across the pond to the United States here. The Bigfoot search continues. This time it's moved to the mountains of Utah. Apparently the group that's looking for the big hairy beast, Bigfoot Field Research Organization, didn't have much luck in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Don't know why they've selected the mountains of Utah, maybe a sighting there, but one hopes that they'll come up with more evidence than they found in Michigan. And one other note of historic interest. I thought this was kind of interesting. The National Antiquities Department in Iraq has announced plans to renovate and restore an ancient synagogue just north of Mosul. It's purported to be the tomb of the biblical prophet Nahum. Well, this is on the calendar for 2008. Apparently, this ancient site is in serious need of repair, and if they don't get to work on it soon, it may be irreparably damaged. So some may be surprised to find an ancient Hebrew prophet in Iraq, but remember, the Jews spent a lot of time in captivity in Babylon. Now our interview for tonight. William H. Kennedy, author of Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church, talking about the news coming from Los Angeles this week, a $660 million settlement to victims of pedophile priests on PID Radio.
It's 537. I'm Derek Gilbert, and
In the wake of the $660 million settlement by the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, it struck me as timely to bring this fellow on board. I've spoken with him a couple of times in what seems like a previous life, but it's not been quite that long. He's the author of the book Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium, and his first book, Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. William H. Kennedy, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Thank you for having me on, Derek. It's great to be here.
Well, I wish we had a happier topic to discuss, Bill, but sadly this is part of the reality in which we live. Cardinal Mahoney had to go public earlier this week and announce a settlement of, over $500 million to victims of abuse by pedophile priests. This isn't the first time something like this has happened, sadly, but why such a big settlement in this particular case?
Well, you have to remember that Los Angeles is the largest archdiocese in the United States as far as the Roman Catholic Church goes. So it's just outdone Chicago. So it would be the biggest monetarily. That's understandable. But when you consider that it's $650 million and the average settlement will be for $1.3 million, this is a lot of people over a long time. Now, they're also wedging into this the Jesuits and the Franciscan claims in the state of California. So the Jesuits and the Franciscans are kind of using Roger Mahoney as a smokescreen to settle their cases simultaneously so as to deflect attention off of themselves.
And now, I hate to admit this, but I'm not familiar. The Franciscans and the Jesuits were included in separate allegations, or is this part of the whole scandal?
These were separate allegations, and what the Jesuits and the Franciscans did in California is they simply hooked on with Cardinal Mahoney and settled their cases in a synonymous fashion with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles so that they would be able to kind of hide behind this larger publicity of Cardinal Mahoney. But the Jesuits and the Franciscans, that's probably an extra $50 million on top of the $600 million. So it's quite a bit. And the Franciscans and Jesuits, what they do, there was a big news story in the Dallas News. They have a special page there, Runaway Priests. There are over 200 Catholic priests that have been transferred internationally to protect them from facing prosecution.
From the Los Angeles Archdiocese or across the country?
From all around the world. Okay. From all around the world. There's at least 200 priests. They keep shifting internationally who are pedophiles, and that's one way that the Catholic Church hides them. This is, again, I say from the Dallas News Runaway Priest page. Their statistic is about 200 total internationally. Now, the total number of priests accused since 1950 is 4,392, and 10,667 people have come forward with complaints so far. Now, Roger Mahoney, he is notorious for protecting Oliver O'Grady, an Irish Catholic priest who they transferred from Ireland to the L.A. Archdiocese. He transferred O'Grady around for over 20 years, and O'Grady molested scores and scores of preteen girls all over the Los Angeles area. His victims are in the 100, perhaps even in the 1,000 range of victims, and this is someone Cardinal Roger Mahoney protected for many, many years.
We're talking with William H. Kennedy, the author of Lucifer's Lodge on the Eagle 93.9. Bill, what kind of penalty is Mahoney himself going to pay?
He will pay no personal penalty himself, and they kind of pulled a fast one too, Derek, because what they did is the church said that they would not argue against any of their records being released. They wouldn't contest it. But what they didn't say is that the priests in question can contest the release of their own files for privacy reasons and keep the truth from coming out and delay it indefinitely for many, many years. So some files will be released from priests who are dead who are accused, but any living priest can tie up his record for, 10 or 20 years, and the full truth of what happened will never come out, and that's another way Roger Mahoney has buffered himself from criminal prosecution.
How long has this investigation been in process?
Well, the big explosion came, Derek, in 2002. In January of 2002, the Boston Globe began a series which demonstrated that Cardinal Bernard Lahr of Boston was running a pedophile ring, and it turns out that many of these pedophiles also turn out to be Satanists, and that's the subject of my book and upcoming documentary film, Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church. I'm coming out with a documentary on this in September, and I'll send you a copy, Derek. And the big thing there is that since then, 2002, there have been major, major investigations on a worldwide level, usually on a local level in different cities. Now, several archdioceses in the United States, like Detroit and a few others, have even considered or have filed bankruptcy trying to settle these lawsuits. It's an international problem. There's not an archdiocese on the earth that doesn't have a Catholic priest pedophile problem. And you have to remember, the Roman Catholic Church is the largest organization on earth. It has over a billion members, and it goes to every country on earth. It goes to more countries than the United Nations or the World Health Organization. So you're looking at an international, well-oiled organization that is moving pedophiles around. And I want to point out, too, Derek, that I am a lifelong Roman Catholic myself, so I don't want anyone to accuse, you know, you or anyone at the station of Catholic bashing. I am a Roman Catholic. I went to a Catholic grammar school and a Catholic high school. My own experiences with the Roman Catholic Church were actually very good, and that's why I feel so betrayed, and I don't want anyone to accuse you or your station of Catholic bashing. I am making observations about news stories that are appearing about my own church and commenting on them.
Okay, and in fact, that's a point that I made just before the break at the bottom of the hour. We want to make it clear that this is not an attack on the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, if it were a problem unique to the Roman Catholic Church, one of our regular guests here on the drive on the Eagle 93.9 is the head of the Mid-Missouri Internet Crimes Task Force, and there's not a week that goes by that they don't catch some scumbag who is trying to meet a preteen boy or girl for the purpose of having sex. So it is not a problem that's unique to the Roman Catholic Church. It's just when you're dealing with somebody who is in a position of spiritual authority. And that's really a disturbing problem, and why we want to tackle it this afternoon. And our conversation will continue. I want to talk about the reason that really the largest Christian organization in the world is harboring so many of these pedophiles. Is it institutional? Is it are we dealing with a spiritual attack here? We'll cover these topics and more and open the phones for your questions of William H. Kennedy, author of Lucifer's Lodge, as Off-Road Friday continues on the drive here on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Here's
Thinking Outside the Cage. This is the drive and Off-Road Friday on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
If you like what you hear on the Eagle 93.9 during the week, you'll get the best of it all weekend long. The best of Neil Bortz tomorrow afternoon starting at 2. The best of Glenn Beck tomorrow at 5. And the best of Sean Hannity Sunday morning starting at 10. And the best of the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly Sunday starting at 2 o'clock. No, 1 o'clock. I should know the schedule on my own station. This is Off-Road Friday, the day that we toss out the format map, where our guest is William H. Kennedy, the author of Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. Bill, during the break, Justin had a good question. I think it's valid, Justin, and one that should be asked.
Well, actually, I have to credit the caller who called in with the question, but I have been thinking it as well. You said that there has been roughly 10,000 victims in the church, or victims who have come out to the public, and about a billion members of the church. I'm asking you if... Isn't that just about the same rate as it is in the general public of children getting abused?
No, number one, that 10,000 figure is just in the United States, so it's a lot more than that. And number two, you can't compare the general population, which just means people who are breathing, compared to an organization which claims to be the ethical and moral representative of Jesus Christ on earth and promotes moral teaching while hypocritically protecting these degenerates who rape young children. There's a clear distinction between the general public and an organization that claims to be a moral leader, and you can't judge them the same way.
We'll talk a little bit more about the cases that you detail in the book Lucifer's Lodge as we get past the ABC News and the local news at the top of the hour here, Bill.
Very good.
The case in Los Angeles, how many complainants came forward in the investigation of what was happening inside the Archdiocese of Los Angeles?
Over 500, and that includes the Franciscan and Jesuit complainants, too. So this $650 million will be divided up over about 500 people, and there'll probably be some money set aside for future claims. But as I say, Mahoney's lawyers did a great job. They sealed this up so no one will ever find out what's going on, nor will anyone necessarily be able to file more claims in the future. It will be a little more difficult under this agreement. So we're looking at a very, very harsh situation. And as I say, this is just the spotlight on one archdiocese, which is very, very large in the United States. So you have to keep in mind that the numbers will be big here, but Mahoney is just such a particular protector of these degenerates. It's almost sickening to think that he's still allowed to be a cardinal in my church, which, you know, I grew up with. So I'm very harsh and judgmental because it's my own organization. And Derek, to be honest, I can come on the radio and I can write books because I was educated by the Roman Catholic Church. I was not abused by them, but they did a great job with me, and I know they could have done a better job handling this pedophile crisis, and that's a sense of betrayal I have, you know. People come up to me all the time and tell me they were sexually abused by priests in my hometown. They stop me on the street. They call me up. And these aren't people looking for money from the church. These are people that don't want the publicity. They have children. They have lives, but they feel that these priests should be reported, and I'm the person they tend to come to. So I see the scope of the problem, and when you see the scope of the problem, remember too, Derek, that this is good news that this is coming out, because this is protecting children from degenerate priests, and scores of children will be saved who otherwise would have been molested if all of this didn't come out. So this is actually a very positive, as painful as it is, it's good pain, because less children will be sexually abused because of what's happening.
If you have a question for our guest or a comment, our phone lines are open at 874-9390 or 800-529-5572 outside mid-Missouri. Bill, the title of your book, Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. Was there any evidence in the Los Angeles cases of the satanic ritual component?
Well, as I said earlier, Derek, the problem is none of the files have been released, and under the agreement that Mahoney made with the survivors of these perverts, this material may never be released. So that's something I really haven't had a chance to assess. And from the way this deal was set up, the priest can contest their files being released for 10 or 20 years. So there's really no way to tell. I can tell you that there were definitely cases in Boston and in Ireland and in the Midwest as well, of pedophile priests who were also Satanists. And as I say, the documentary film Lucifer's Lodge in my book, I will give you the names of them and tell you exactly what they did.
We'll get into some of those cases after the top of the hour.
Sure.
But before we get too far along, Bill, your website, williamhkennedy.com, where can people get copies of Satanic Crime, Threat in the New Millennium, and Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church?
At williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com, you can get both of my books in print, or you can get them as an e-book combination at a reduced price. I also have a Satanic Crime multimedia page there, which has hours and hours of free films and audios on the contemporary Satanism movement. It's the best page on Satanism on the net. I really stand by that statement, and it's free, and people can take a look at the free material on my page, williamhkennedy.com, as well.
With just about a minute to go, Bill, let's just go back in history for just a moment. What led you initially to begin investigating this?
Well, it was in 1996, the late Father Malachy Martin, the famous Catholic priest and exorcist, actually informed me that all of this was happening in Boston. And at the time, I found his claims to be too far-fetched and kind of dismissed them. And then to fast forward, Father Martin died. And as I said earlier, in 2002, the Boston Globe broke the story. And everything Malachy Martin said turned out to be true, which is the book and film Lucifer's Lodge.
And Malachy Martin, of course, is the author of a number of well-known nonfiction and fiction works, including Windswept House, probably his best-known novel, nonfiction works called The Keys of This Blood and The Jesuits. And he was a regular guest with Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM.
Yes, he was. He was Art Bell's number one guest, and he had the highest ratings on that show, and they still put his photograph on the Coast to Coast webpage.
Yeah, it's he was definitely an interesting fellow, and a guy we'll talk about a little bit more. Our guest on Off-Road Friday here on The Drive is William H. Kennedy. His book is Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church, a conversation that was prompted by the news out of Los Angeles this week of the multi-million-dollar settlement, over $650 million settlement being paid out to victims of pedophile priests. We'll talk about the cases discussed in Lucifer's Lodge with William H. Kennedy after we get through the top of the hour here. Latest news from around the world and from ABC News straight ahead. We'll also get the latest Mid-Missouri news from Aaron Fox in the Eagle 93.9 newsroom. Your calls and comments for William H. Kennedy, welcome at 874-9390, 800-529-5572, or you can send them by instant message. If you're using AOL Instant Messenger, it's the Eagle 939 via AOL Instant Messenger, and, of course, email at thedrive@zrgmail.com. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is The Drive. Off-Road Friday continues straight ahead on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
The Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
News doesn't stop on the weekend, and neither do we. You'll get the latest with Matt Drudge of the Drudge Report live Sunday night from 9 to midnight only on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. I'm Derek Gilbert. We call it Off-Road Friday because it's the day we take the show down the back roads of the human existence, talk about things normally not discussed during the week. Our guest is William H. Kennedy, the author of the book Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church, discussing the pedophile priest scandal, which keeps popping up around the country. It was hit not too far from here in recent years. Belleville, Illinois, which is just across the river from St. Louis, had a couple of priests who were accused and of molesting children in recent years. And, of course, the most recent case, most visible case of 2007, the settlement coming from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Bill, you mentioned that about 40 years ago, a document was put out by the Vatican basically telling bishops to keep things quiet if accusations were leveled against priests.
Yes, it's called the Sin of Solicitation. That is the name of the document.
What possible motivation would the Vatican have for telling its bishops to try to hide this?
Because what happened somewhere along the line, now there's always been corruption in the Roman Catholic Church. There's always been a bad element in any organization. But at some juncture in history, this evil bad element got control of the bishop seats and the cardinal seats and took control of the seminaries in the Roman Catholic Church. And this evil homosexual pedophile kind of element moved into the higher echelons of the Roman Catholic Church.
So, now I can understand, although I wouldn't agree with it, but I can understand a desire by the Church to protect the reputation of the Church by covering up these events, by trying to pay out settlement money and keep it quiet so that the faithful aren't distressed by scandals rocking the church and making the church look bad. But what you're saying is that it goes deeper than that? That this is actually an organized cabal within the church?
Yes, it definitely is. And the document, The Sin of Solicitation, brings this point home, above and beyond anything else I can say, and I will send it to you later tonight. And as I say, Derek, the oldest symbol of the Catholic Church is a fish, and a fish rots from the head down, and that's what's happened with the Roman Catholic Church. The hierarchy, which seemed to move in after World War II, the pervert hierarchy, took over and basically corrupted the entire Roman Catholic Church and allowed these pedophile nuts to run wild. I mean, you got people like, consider Father Chet Warren. This is a guy for over 20 years who sexually abused girls in the Toledo, Ohio area, and he would abuse them in coffins in satanic ceremonies. Now, one of his victims and survivors is Barbara Blaine, who is the founder of SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, the primary voice of survivors of pedophile priests in the United States. She is a victim of a satanic ritual abuser, as is Colm O'Gorham, who was survived the victimization of Father Sean Fortune, who was a Satanist priest I mentioned earlier, who took kids to a haunted house. He founded a group, One in Four, which is the primary group in Ireland in the United Kingdom for survivors of pedophile priests. So satanic ritual abuse goes right to the core of the survivor groups. The founders of both groups were survivors of satanic ritual pedophile priests. So this is a huge part of the overall problem in the Roman Catholic Church. And there are many, many other examples I give in the book and I will give in the film.
We're talking to William H. Kennedy on the Eagle 93.9. He is the author of Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. Lines are open for your questions or comments at 874-9390 or 800-529-5572. Now, Bill, you mentioned Toledo, Ohio, and
right.
there was a priest, Father Gerald Robinson, who was convicted.
Right. This is a buddy of Chet Warren.
Okay.
Friend of Chet Warren's, yep.
Okay, I want to talk about Gerald Robinson in just a minute because of his case. His case is really bizarre and speaks to the topic of your book. But we'll go back to the phones here and talk to Hugh in Columbia. Hugh, welcome. You're on the Eagle 93.9 with William H. Kennedy.
Hi, Hugh.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Derek. Mr. Kennedy, I just want to ask you, you had mentioned that you're a Roman Catholic. What has that been like for you, the process of maintaining your Roman Catholic identity in the midst of going through this research process and letting people know about this?
Excellent question.
Very challenging, to say the least. It's very hard for me. It upset me very deeply when I first started to get reports by survivors of pedophile priests. It affected me emotionally and spiritually and really rocked my faith to its core. But I still consider myself a Roman Catholic in the sense that it's my form of Christianity. And ultimately, if I were stranded on an island somewhere, I'd still be a Roman Catholic because the good parts of it I admire, and they are matters of the heart. And an institution can go wrong, but people's hearts cannot, you know, and I'll just leave it at that.
Father Gerald Robinson, a priest of Toledo, Ohio, was charged with the murder of a nun on Holy Saturday in 1980, the day before Easter.
Yes.
It was a day that would have been the nun's 72nd birthday. She was killed in the chapel of a hospital in which she worked in Toledo, Ohio. The case involved talk of rituals, cults, abuse of children. Sister Margaret Ann Paul was the victim. Did you look into the case of Father Gerald Robinson, and how does his case connect to what you write about in Lucifer's Lodge?
Okay, I cover the Robinson case in both my books, Lucifer's Lodge and Satanic Crime. He murdered a priest, Sister Paul, in 1980 on Easter Sunday, and Sister Paul was found draped in an altar cloth with candles strewn around her head like they were a halo, and the stab wounds in her heart formed an inverted cross. Now, Father Robinson was a suspect back then, but what happened, this was in a hospital chapel, so they destroyed a lot of evidence when they tried to save Sister Paul's life, so a lot of forensic evidence got ruined, and Robinson went free. Now, fast forward to 2003, a woman walked into the Toledo, Ohio board for survivors of pedophile priests, which was set up after the Boston Globe broke the story, and said that she was sexually abused by Chet Warren and Gerald Robinson in a bizarre ceremony involving a coffin where they inserted different, like, snakes and all sorts of weird things into her and dedicated her private parts to Lucifer. Now, this made the Toledo police, this gave them enough evidence to look into the Sister Paul case, and they brought this before a grand jury, and they decided to try Gerald Robinson for the satanic ritual murder of Sister Paul, and he was eventually convicted and has been sent to prison. He was involved with a group with Chet Warren called the Sisters of the Assumed Mary, which was a bizarre satanic group which still exists in Toledo that would sexually abuse young children, and they would dress up like nuns. This includes Chet Warren, and sexually abuse young girls in satanic rituals and churches. One of the churches they broke into and used, they had to perform an exorcism on out there. This is documented. I can send you that. And this will all be covered in my film, Lucifer's Lodge, as well. Gerald Robinson is a big, I have a big segment on him in the documentary film. But he's one of the creepier satanic ritual abusers in this whole mess.
It really is a strange case. In fact, a representative from the Chicago Archdiocese was called in to testify in the case about the ritual aspects of it. And it to look at a picture of Father Robinson, you'd think it's just a kindly, elderly priest, just no one that you would suspect, at least not outwardly, of this sort of behavior. But he was convicted of the murder.
What a perfect place to hide, and he got away with it. He was a free man for over, you know, almost 30 years, so he did quite well. He's in prison now, and he'll probably never get out, thank God. But Chet Warren, even after he was caught, the Archdiocese of Toledo allowed him to be a tutor for children until just a couple years ago when he was exposed in the Gerald Robinson case. So these people are unreal. They're sick. Degenerates have taken over my church, the Roman Catholic Church. And a big part of what I do is go out on shows like this and just make people aware of it, because you cannot have hope until you see the scope of a problem. And ultimately, I have a message of hope in all of this.
Well, that's good to hear, because it's pretty dark so far. Just very quickly, what was the impact of the Father Robinson case and the other abuse cases that surfaced in the Toledo area? What has happened to the Toledo Diocese?
The Toledo Diocese is now settling a bunch of cases. They are facing some forms of bankruptcy, it's believed. They are another fairly big archdiocese. But a lot of these abusers went free in the Toledo area, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, about 300,000 people in the Toledo Diocese. It covers 19 counties and sadly spawned the Father Gerald Robinson case and others. Our guest on Off-Road Friday on the Drive, William H. Kennedy. His website, williamhkennedy.com. His book, Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church, the topic this afternoon. Lines are open at 874-9390 or 800-529-5572. We can also get you in by email at thedrive@zrgmail.com. Or if you've got AOL Instant Messenger, send it to The Eagle 939. I'm Derek Gilbert, more with William H. Kennedy straight ahead, and now news on The Eagle 93.9 and TheEagle939.com.
Working without a map. This is Off-Road Friday on The Drive on The Eagle 93.9 and TheEagle939.com.
Michael Savage takes over in just over 30 minutes. Rock and Roll Friday. Even if you don't like Michael Savage, you like the bumper music that he uses on Friday afternoons. Savage Nation straight ahead at 7:06 on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Off-Road Friday. Why do we call it that? It's because today we take the drive off the usual format map and talk about other things that comprise the world around us. And today, kind of a dark journey through the back road of the human existence, talking about the pedophile priest scandals that have plagued the Roman Catholic Church around the world, and especially here in the United States over the last few years. Our guest is William H. Kennedy, the author of Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. Bill, I got to tell you, my producer, Justin, is duct-taped his head back together because it's exploded a couple of times here during the course of our discussion. This is really a disturbing in a lot of different ways. Not only that the trust placed in the priesthood has been violated in such an evil way, but that high-ranking members within the church have conspired to cover it up and keep it quiet. Why is this continuing? Who are these people, and what is their goal?
Okay, the people, their goal is to continue this bizarre satanic pedophile ring as long as they can. The same people who were in power 10 years ago are in power now. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the current Benedict XVI. As I say, he was privy to the 1963 document, The Sin of Solicitation, in 2003. He made it clear to the entire Catholic world that that document was still in effect. That meant he gave orders that they were still to cover up and transfer for pedophile priests as late as 2003. So we're looking at a top-level problem in the Roman Catholic Church. And as I say, there's at least 200 of these creeps running around internationally that they can't seem to track down or find. And, you know, there are tons of bizarre cases. There are in Lucifer's Lodge, in the film I'm making and in my book, which you can get at williamhkennedy.com, I even look at the case of Bernard J. Lane, who was a Catholic priest in Boston, who ran the Alpha Omega House in the 1970s and 80s in Littleton, Massachusetts.
Okay, now Lane was there under Cardinal Bernard Law, different guy.
Yes, he was under Cardinal Medeiros and later under Cardinal Law.
Okay.
And what Lane did is he actually had a master's degree in education with a focus on child psychology. So he trained himself to learn about and brainwash children. You know, if you take education, you also learn how to brainwash children. It's part of your training. You cover those sorts of tactics and techniques as part of an MED, a Master of Education in Counseling. So he knew how to brainwash these kids, and what he would do is he would bring them to this wayward boys' home called the Alpha Omega House, and he would sexually abuse them there. Now, when I interviewed some survivors of the Alpha Omega House in August in 2003 outside the cathedral in Boston, they were protesters, they told me that the Alpha Omega House had a room that was painted black from top to bottom, where Lane and Father Paul Shanley, another pedophile priest in Boston, and Dr. Scott Ward, who was the psychiatrist at the Alpha Omega House, would sexually abuse children, and that two occasions that there was an upside-down crucifix leaning against the wall during a case of sexual abuse, and there was a face-down crucifix while a priest sexually abused a kid in the black room at the Alpha Omega House. Now, Dr. Scott Ward later went to prison for sexually abusing children. Lane went free because the statute of limitations made it so that the government and the courts could not bring any charges against him. So there's another overt case in the Boston Archdiocese of someone who sexually abused children in a satanic ritual fashion that Cardinal Bernard Law protected.
Now, how did Law deal with these guys?
Okay, he basically did what I said. He would transfer them and move them around and let them get away with whatever he could do. And according to his files, he met with these priests about once a month. It's not like he left them out in the boonies. He would have them come to the Archdiocese headquarters and report to him, and he would send them out knowing full well that they were going to go out and sexually abuse children.
Well, how did Law know that? How do we know that he was culpable?
Oh, he's culpable because of all of the documents that were released after the Boston Globe broke the story in 2002. They were forced to release tons and tons of documents on sexually abusive priests, and the documents released showed that Cardinal Bernard Law was aware of what all these priests was doing, and he was following the guidelines set in the Sin of Solicitation, covering up for the priest, transferring him, and allowing them to sexually abuse children more. And according to the records, he met with them once a month, which makes it seem like he was ordering and sending them out there to molest children, not counseling them or trying to get them to stop. And Paul Shanley, who I mentioned earlier, he was a spiritual inspiration for NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, and he was the keynote speaker at their initial meeting in 1977 called Men and Boys. And Cardinal Medeiros and Cardinal Law were fully aware of this. So Paul Shanley was a spiritual inspiration and keynote speaker and member of NAMBLA, and the NAMBLA page still defends Paul Shanley, who's now in prison for molesting scores of children in the Boston Archdiocese.
Oh, brother. William H. Kennedy's our guest on the Eagle 93.9. We're talking about pedophile priests in the Roman Catholic Church, his book Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. How long did Shanley, Reverend Paul Shanley, get away with his actions?
Well, he started in the early 1960s, 70s, and 80s, and when they finally caught up to him in 2002, he was retired, and he was out in California, and he was working as a part-time crossing guard for a grammar school.
Okay. And that had gave him access to some of his
young children. And then finally he was arrested and charged and sent to prison here in Massachusetts, and he's currently in prison.
Boston, Los Angeles, we've heard about those both are both huge archdioceses. We talked about the Toledo archdiocese. How widespread is this problem across the United States?
Oh, it's across the world. Just consider that in Cardiff, Wales, the Archbishop there, John Ward, who was a Franciscan Archbishop of Cardiff and Wales, in 2000, it came out that he had raped a six-year-old girl many years before, and he had paid her off. And then it came out a little later that he was also protecting pedophile priests, and he was forced to resign. So a bishop in Poland was also forced to resign because he was sexually abusing young children. A bishop in Miami was forced to resign because he was sexually abusing seminarians. So the bishops themselves became pedophiles, or pedophiles became bishops. I don't know which came first, but the hierarchy of the church has become corrupted by pedophiles and those who protect pedophiles. And remember, Derek, the only thing worse than a pedophile is someone who protects and enables a pedophile. They are morally worse than the pedophile themselves, because a pedophile is sick and must be segregated from society. Someone who enables a pedophile is a greater menace than the pedophile himself, in my reckoning.
The documents that have been released, William, in your research, does it... Is it your view that the bishops who were shuffling these priests around from parish to parish were trying to protect the church themselves, or were they trying to protect the pedophiles?
Both. Both. Both things. They were trying to protect the reputation of the church, and they were trying to protect the pedophile priests themselves. So it's a combination of the two.
And by doing one, they were doing the other.
Yes, I mean, these things are all, you really can't separate them that easily. They're all tied in together.
$660 million, the settlement offered by the Los Angeles Archdiocese to 508 people who were sexually abused by priests. And sadly, this is not the only case. And that's why we're talking with William H. Kennedy this afternoon on Off-Road Friday here on The Drive. His book, Lucifer's Lodge, available at his website, williamhkennedy.com. There is good news, though, Bill says. And we'll find out what that good news is, what that ray of hope is as we go forward from here. The conversation continues next on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.
This is the show they don't want you to hear. It's Off-Road Friday on The Drive from the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Our guest on Off-Road Friday, William H. Kennedy, the author of Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. The reason we're talking to Bill this week is because of the announcement Monday by the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Cardinal Mahoney there, settling claims made by 508 victims of sexual abuse, a series of trials about to begin out there, which have now been settled by this cash settlement of $660 million. And some of these claims date back to the 1940s. And so we wanted to talk with Bill today about his book. The documents that have been released through the years from Boston, from Toledo, from other places around the world show that this is a pattern that's repeated a number of places around the globe. And, Bill, when we start looking into these cases, it's very the natural reaction is to get very depressed, to think that it's all bad, that we need to throw out the entire Roman Catholic Church, basically, in order to fix things. But in your book, you say that there is some hope, and I'd like to know what that is. I mean, how do we fix things? Where do we go from here? Especially coming from you as a Roman Catholic, where do you go from here to try to fix things, to try to make things better within the church?
know that something is wrong until it comes into your field of knowledge. And for many, many years, they covered up this pedophile problem. But the fact that it's come to the surface, number one, it has saved scores and scores and tens of thousands of children from getting molested. So it had a huge preventative measures. You know, they put a lot of these priests under wraps when all of this broke loose. So some of them they have put a leash on. I wish they would on all of them, but they haven't. So there's hope there. Number two, the general public is informed of what's going on. So the Catholic Church will never have the secrecy and power to do this to people like they used to. They'll never be trusted again. This is the biggest shakeup in the Roman Catholic Church since the Reformation, to be honest with you.
Really?
And, oh, yes, definitely so. Historically speaking, yes, this is the biggest shakeup since the Reformation. But there can be reform and there can be improvement. I don't think that will come until this current generation of cardinals and bishops have gone off to their reward, quite frankly, because they're still ingrained in these old ways of thinking. But I think there is hope in the long run for the Roman Catholic Church, and it can be a force for good if it is guided. Remember, this whole revelation of this coming out put a huge, huge dent in their plans to keep this cabal going. This has put a huge, you know, this has weighed them down heavily and saved scores and scores of children. So we must look for hope. We certainly can't forget, and we must examine more cases. But we must not lose hope as individuals, because the truth can only set you free. And what I always tell people is there's an ancient Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. It's a curse now. And curses are bad, but there's also something intellectually interesting about all of this. And in that sense, I on a personal level, I'm quite proud that I came out with some very good work in this, and this is very positive. And I'm also coming out with a line of products for self-improvement, like memory improvement and a mind enhancer program and a speed reading program. So I'm not going to have my whole life just be negative writing about Satanism. On a personal level, I'm coming out with some self-improvement products that will really sharpen people's minds that I'm very proud of. So I have a lot of hope for the church and a hope for the future and hope for individuals.
Are you seeing a new crop of priests or would-be priests that are going through a seminary now that are looking to change the culture within the church? What gives you this hope for the future of the Roman Catholic Church?
It's just the fact, not so much the seminaries. As I say, the true change won't come until a whole generation of these bishops and cardinals have died off. But after they're gone, I do see some hope, because just the simple fact that all of this has come out will only stop it in the future. You know, they won't be trusted again. And that's a good thing. That will save children from being raped, and we must be grateful to God for that.
What kind of organizations can people turn to for help out there if they are concerned about the direction of the Roman Catholic Church? Are there organizations out there that are mobilizing?
Yes, there's two groups. There's one called Voice of the Faithful, and these are just concerned Catholics who are worried about the pedophile problem. And for survivors of clerical abuse, there is SNAP, NSAP, Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, and they have a web presence. And for people in Europe, the group is 1 in 4. And they can also give you information about how to become an activist or get active on the net with observing, you know, the problems and helping with the problems in the Roman Catholic Church.
And Lucifer's Lodge, the book, is going to become Lucifer's Lodge, the movie. When will we see that?
It will be a documentary film. I'm targeting the first week in September, so not long, just about a month. It will be a full-length feature, and I have the great Brad Steiger is going to make an appearance in the film, the famous writer.
Okay. With this, what kind of release is this? Is this going to be available as a DVD?
I'm going to go straight to DVD with it.
Okay.
And I will probably screen it a few places, but I really want to get this out there. You know, I really want this information out there. I'm not as concerned with having it screened in theaters and things like that. I prefer people get the film in their hands.
All right. William H. Kennedy, the website, williamhkennedy.com. The book, Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. His newest book, Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium. Bill, appreciate your time this afternoon. Look forward to talking with you again once the film is out.
It was great being on the drive, Derek. Thank you very much for having me.
William H. Kennedy, his website is williamhkennedy.com, and you can find the information about Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Roman Catholic Church, and his most recent book, Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium, at his website. Now, during the interview, Bill mentioned a Vatican document called The Sin of Solicitation, and I've got to admit that during the interview, I was skeptical about the existence of such a document. I mean, imagine a document from the Vatican telling bishops to cover up their priests, to cover up incidents involving their priests in sexual abuse. Well, yesterday morning, Bill sent me the links to the articles, and I will post those in the show notes at pidradio.libsyn, that's libsyn.com, pidradio.libsyn.com. There's a report from CBS News, another report by the BBC. I'll also add a link to a story from the Toledo Blade. The stories from CBS and the BBC confirm that the policy document called The Sin of Solicitation was authored in 1962 by Cardinal Alfredo Ottaviani. Not pronouncing it correctly, I'm sure, but the point is the document instructed bishops to pursue these cases, and I quote now, in the most secretive way, restrained by a perpetual silence, and everyone, including the alleged victim, is to observe the strictest secret, which is commonly regarded as a secret of the Holy Office, under the penalty of excommunication. In other words, it was official Vatican policy from 1962 onward to cover up the crime of sexual abuse by priests under strict secrecy under penalty of excommunication. The article from the Toledo Blade is very disturbing because it documents the complicity of the police department of Toledo, Ohio, in covering up crimes by priests in that diocese. That's significant, of course, because Toledo is where Father Gerald Robinson was convicted last year of the satanic ritual murder of Sister Margaret Paul some years ago. And again, you'll find the links to these articles to confirm what we're talking about at pidradio.libsyn.com. Again, our websites have moved. My blog is at derekpgilbert.wordpress.com. You'll find Sharon's blog at sharonkgilbert.wordpress.com. And you can send us email if you like. My email address now, derekpaulgilbert@gmail.com. And Sharon's email address, sharonkgilbert@gmail.com. Again, the good news, we're staying in mid-Missouri for the time being. Well, for the foreseeable future, actually. And the Lord has provided the means for us to get back and visit family, which is the whole point of this almost move in the first place. If you'd like to discuss the topic today or anything that you hear at PID Radio, our thanks to Daniel Eaton for saving the forum. It's now available at palmpage.com/PTD. I'm Derek Gilbert. Until next time, thanks for listening to PID Radio.
Over 6,000 years ago, the citizens of Mesopotamia encountered them.
Down through time, tens of thousands of people on every continent of the world have etched their likeness on the walls of caves, chiseled statues of them from solid stone, and prayed prayers to their highest gods to be delivered from them.
But prophecy says they will return. And at a time when Babylon, modern Iraq, and Iran is invaded and destroyed. This spring, exclusively from RaidersNewsUpdate.com, we'll tell you what you need to know about them. In the book-length ebook, Stargates, Ancient Rituals, and Those Invited Through the Portal.
In the 14th century, the Black Death killed nearly one-third the population of Europe. In 1918, the Spanish flu killed as many as 100 million people. The next great plague may already be spreading. Inspired by today's headlines, it's the Armageddon Strain, the explosive new thriller from Sharon K. Gilbert. At a laboratory somewhere in the desert southwest, a secretive group has created a deadly virus for a single purpose, to eliminate 90% of human life. Standing in their way is Dr. Maggie Taylor, a woman broken by grief and alcohol, who must somehow find the strength to unravel the mystery of her father's death in time to stop the virus from being released. Infuse magazine says Sharon Gilbert has a talent for making you feel good, scared, on the edge of your seat, and dying for more. And Christian Fiction Review says Sharon Gilbert does a very nice job of building suspense and horror step by step. The Armageddon Strain from Sharon K. Gilbert, the newest release in the Myth Arc, the ultimate battle for mankind. Available now online and at bookstores everywhere.